Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners a turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russin
Rocky,
other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Frank in the chat, and I still have a trading problem.
My name is Herms, and I have a trading issue problem. That was the word. That was the prompt. I'm so close.
You found your way there in the end.
This is going to be a good show.
It's a journey. It's a journey, Herms, and you made it. That's the important part. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to session 346 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Throw it up there, Herms.
There we go.
We just did. It is playoff times.
Playoffs.
If you have an amazing commish, not to name names, me, Watch what finger you're pointing with on that one, Frank. you know who's in your playoffs. You have your early roster, rookie draft order, all of that set already because someone was forced to go into the office, and you know, I'm not working if you're forcing me to come into the office. I have to put a shirt on? Pants? What? So, yeah, it's playoff times. You know, there's no more guessing. you know, it's... It's a very fun time of season because if you don't have a trade deadline, stuff's about to get real. But let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. Let's first let our guest introduce himself. Herms, tell everybody who you are, what you do, where they can find what you do.
Yes, what is up? Those of you who have listened to this podcast in the past have heard me, but in case you haven't, my name is C.H. Herms. You can follow me on Twitter at CH_Herms. I'm also up in the clouds with the butterflies on the blue sky, just at Herms. I do a bunch of different stuff, but for those of you Dynasty heads out there, fantasypoints.com lets me write a lot of wild stuff about Dynasty strategy and theory or whatever. So if you're ever trying to get, like, you know, super galaxy brain with thinking about different stuff or whatever, you know, I think you should check out my articles on their website. I really do.
I think you should too. So is that a koozie with a Buffalo Sabres logo on it?
Yes, it is. And I only have it because of my roommate. I also feature a Washington Capitals tattoo.
Exactly
on
why I was asking.
So, like, believe me, one of those is, you know, where the fandom is. That just, it happens to fit the large can. That's really all that, okay. That's what it is.
Those Buffaloans know how to keep their drinks cold.
Very true. Very true. A lot of experience.
Buffaloans? Is that right? That sounds wrong.
Buffalins?
Buffalites? That's what people come to listen for. All right. Let's, Frank, start talking about the news.
I don't want to kill the mood. Everyone's so happy.
Oh, I'm sure we'll talk about a Buffalite at some point.
Yeah. But Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL again. The same one.
Oh, man.
That is so rough.
Hard pivot.
I know. Well, that's what I was saying. I should have started. I don't have any happy, though, I don't think. Yeah, he tore it in November of last year, and he came back in November of this year. So considering he tore it in December, he could miss all of 2025. So I guess the big question is Chuba a top 12 dynasty running back now, Herms?
I'm hesitant to say top 12 just because when I go through and build out my dynasty rankings, I heavily reward dudes that catch the ball a lot. And that's not necessarily Chuba Hubbard's, you know, MO. But the fact that he can run so efficiently means that I would have him somewhere in like that RB, like, you know, 14, like 15 range. Like, he's proven that he can do the thing. And I was very surprised by it. I mean, I really wish I would have benefited from it more in a few of my leagues. There were some leagues, mostly redraft, where I just like dropped him because I didn't believe he was going to sustain this. But like, instead of making this about me, we'll tie it back to the dynasty value thing. Like, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for some of those like workhorse type dudes, and especially if he can stay healthy and age well, we see guys like James Conner continue to put up really good numbers year after year. We see players, you know, it's probably a high-end example, but, you know, sort of like a David Montgomery, like Chuba Hubbard could be within that mold going into the future in an offense that's only going to continue to improve theoretically, because you can, you know, when you start from the bottom, you can only go up. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Not to mention he's under contract for a few years now, because what the hell are they that signing Chuba Hubbard for
now?
Yes.
Yeah, like, you had me until that last word, like one of those last words. Is he a top 12 running back rest of season? Man, he might be a top 5 or 6 running back rest of season. But dynasty, I think you're going to have far too many people giving him the discount that he came with already. I don't think you're really going to be able to get him to bolster his value all that much. And I think especially once, what month is it now? December. In 2 months when the rookies roll into MFL and we start getting ADP over there, it's going to be one of those, he's going, regardless of the fact that he's, how old is he?
25. Oh, he's 25, no. As Russ, I think, was trying to click on something and accidentally clicked on the wrong thing. He Russ is 25, Russ.
There you go.
We were just saying that. He's 25. I just looked actually before you asked the question.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so he is 25. He'll go into next season at 26.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so heavy air quotes, he's old, you know, already. He's on his second contract. He'll be one of those running backs where it's, you know, like the way we already treat these guys, the Aaron Joneses and Josh Jacobs, where in the non-point scoring season, he'll be worth a second. When he starts scoring points, maybe he'll be worth a first. You know, one of those. Like, I have someone trying to send me Chuba right now, and it's just like, ugh. Who would you rather start rest of season, Chuba Hubbard or Brian Robinson?
I was just going to ask that exact question.
Because that's what it comes down to.
Who I would take Chuba because of schedule. Because Brian Robinson plays the Eagles, and they have been stopping everybody.
But who did they just not stop?
Chuba.
Chuba.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
Quick name game. Chase Brown or Chuba? Dynasty, not rest of season.
See, that's so hard. Another one of those.
They're taking both out all the old guys like Derrick Henry. Like, you're taking Chuba over them in Dynasty, right? So
I mean, Chase Brown's in a better offense. So, right. I mean, for as much as the Bengals' defense needs a lot of work, clearly, yeah, they've got one side of the ball figured out. So I'm going to go with him for that.
Yeah, so, I still think there's more upside with Chase Brown, too.
Yeah, just because the offense he's in. But, like, would you be surprised if either of these teams spent an early, late day two, early day three round pick? So, like,
and on a running back? I would be surprised if Cincy did, because they got Moss still coming back.
Still, again, that's something like that was really more or less what I was talking about. Like, these guys are workhorse backs because of extenuating circumstances. Like, when Moss was healthy, Chase was not a workhorse back. And I think it's a little naive to think he would be even if Moss was healthy.
Yep.
So that's why another reason I don't think either of them really should be like, I know we got to pump brakes on being that excited about, you know, these guys, but definitely rest of season, they're going to be huge. Yeah. But I still haven't gotten my answer about if I should trade for Chuba or not.
Are you trading Brian Robinson? Is that your specific?
No, it's just, should I just start Brian Robinson or should I trade for Chuba? Should I start Chuba over Brian Robinson? That's really the question. Is the point per game difference going to be that big?
No, probably not.
Yeah, that's I don't think so.
Yeah.
Two more. This is the biggest story, so we'll spend a little more time here. Pacheco or Chuba?
Chuba. I just never bought into any ceiling whatsoever of Pacheco. He's fine, but we've seen Chuba do some stuff already that we've never seen Pacheco do.
I lean Chuba too. I'm not a big Chuba. I know what he's done this year. I was never a big fan of
him. He did it last year also.
And I mean, I think they were trying to replace him, and then Brooks never got healthy and tore his ACL. So, but I guess that he signed out. Yeah, Chuba. I got to go Chuba there.
And then last one, Chuba or Tracy. They're the same age, believe it or not.
Yes, Tracy's old. Chuba. Offense.
Definitely Chuba.
No, nope, just I'm even like
Tracy catches a lot of passes.
He does. And this is where Hearns' pass catching is going to come into play.
And like the Giants aren't going to be good enough to go out and immediately add somebody to the backfield, probably. So like
he has caught 35 balls this year, which is not nothing.
This is Chuba.
Chuba has. Yeah. He hasn't done a lot with it. It's 35 for 141 and a touchdown, but he has caught 35 balls.
Mm-hmm. All right, I lied. One more. Chuba or Josh Jacobs?
Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs.
Wow. Okay. It's November ADP, so we can't really find out where Chuba is yet, but it's interesting. I tried to kind of pick guys his age, but okay. Derek Carr is out for the season. I asked who's most impacted here, but they're all impacted. Kamara's sharing. Which we should talk about that. Kendre Miller did things this week, like on the first series. So I guess are all the Saints just stay away?
Or what do we do? I think the running back share of the offense is going to increase because they don't have they don't have anybody to throw the ball and no one to throw the ball to.
Right.
So I'm hoping that we see a huge increase in dump offs to Kamara.
Mm-hmm. Or you put Kamara at receiver and put
I think
Kendre in the back.
Have Kamara, you obviously have to keep starting him, but I don't know that I'm going out and trading for him for a playoff run either.
Yeah.
With this news.
Yeah.
But it is nice to see Kendre Miller getting a shot, right? Like that's really what it was. Health and
Dennis Allen. Yeah. Just crazy. Aiden O'Connell. So this was weird. He was he had an air cast on, and then someone said he was out for the year. I think Jordan Schultz did. And then they said, no, bone bruise. He might be back this week now. So I don't think there's much to do here, but like, it's just Bowers and everyone else, right? I mean, there's no, I guess Jacoby Myers, but
yeah,
nothing on the Raiders, I don't think. Falcons are sticking. I'm going to keep doing this. Falcons are sticking with Cousins, and Browns are sticking with Winston. Herm seems not happy about the first one. Are you a Penix believer?
The thing is, like, not really. I'm just a believer in that you should try to put out an offense that doesn't stink. Like, what? There's no value. I don't care.
I'm so disappointed with Cousins is here.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's a waste of everyone's time. It's a waste of his time. You already gave him all the money. He's already rich beyond his wildest dreams or whatever. So let him go home, okay? Let him spend time with his family. Who cares? See what you have in the kid that you spent with this super high draft pick that confused everybody. Like, yeah. There's no way he could possibly be worse than what we've seen. Because it's dragging everyone down, man. It's dragging everyone. It's making me upset. Yeah. It's making, I'm sure, the city of Atlanta very upset. I'm sure it's making Michael Penix very upset. But I just, we're at the end of the year. They're not, actually, they are playing for something. That's why it's complicated.
That is, yeah.
The South is so bad. Like, they're still technically competing, and I hate it.
But maybe that could even be a reason to change a quarterback, though, because they are playing for something. Cousins has been so bad, especially recently.
Four losses in a row. They're 6-7 with four losses in a row.
This is the week, I think. They play the Raiders on Monday, which they share with Bears Vikings. So I will be going to bed early on Monday and not watching either. but If Cousins stinks against the Raiders, that is, I think that will be, although it's a short week, so I don't know what you do. But
if it stinks against the Raiders, I might throw Penix in that game.
Right? Yeah. Bingo. See what you have.
I don't know. Like, I just, it's not like Penix is at the end of a contract or something. Why do it now?
The same reason you would have played Drake May for the last three games at the beginning of the year, because you have to see what he is.
I'm just saying, from their perspective, why not do it now? Like, your season's
going
down the tubes with Kirk Cousins. Why not just switch it up and see what happens if you put Penix in? Like,
because what do you do with Cousins in the offseason then? Do you trade him?
No one's just trading anything for Kirk Cousins at this point.
I think the Jets will.
Well, like Kerm said, that's a sunk cost at this point. So yeah. Or the why Steelers. Not try and make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think the Steelers could do it. Although
do not put that evil on me. Do not put that into the universe. Okay, Russell Wilson's coming back or something.
Yes. But not let back. Russell Wilson come back.
Yeah, no, he's great. This was a weird thing that Jay Glazer just dropped on Sunday, was that Aaron Rodgers has been playing through a hamstring tear, a sprained MCL, and a high ankle sprain. Like, is that something that Rodgers is just feeding him, or like, it's something that came out now? That is, the timing was weird. It was
why I sucked all year.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, it's probably him trying to say, well, they're trying to bench me for medical reasons. I don't suck. Like, I'm not going. Who knows? The Jets. We've talked enough about the Jets this year. Isaac Garendo.
In your endo.
Thank you. Foot sprain.
It's funny, Frank was pointing at me, and I didn't even realize until I was halfway through saying it.
Has a foot sprain. It's a short week. He hasn't practiced as of, 2 hours ago. He didn't practice today. Are we going with Patrick Taylor, who's, the fifth?
I don't think you're starting.
Running back? Or are we buying Izzy to the hizzy again? Let's do it. He's fast.
None of the above.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I don't know what's in the water in San Francisco, but man, they can't keep their players healthy.
Apparently nothing, because they keep getting hurt.
You put some fluoride in there.
Ryan Taylor, but everybody seems to be good that they put in there. So, I mean, if you have them, why not?
I was going to say, you're not buying him, right? You're not going to try and
go. Not on waivers most places anymore.
After right.
The two guys went on IR. But
week one of playoffs, you're putting... Hold on.
Patrick
Taylor in? Thank you.
I don't think the Rams are particularly good against the run either.
Yeah.
That is.
This stinks like it's going to be a committee and just they're going to feed them both.
Probably. But how do they even put a committee together if Isaac Correct?
I don't know.
It's just Izzy Abadakande and Patrick Taylor.
This is weird, and I should have checked this, but did they – Breida was out there. Breida knows this offense. I'm surprised they signed Abanacanda. So
just get Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
Bring him in. Let's do it.
Bring him back.
That dude's that. Who knows?
That's
that
amazing. Thank you for that, Herms.
Yeah. Mike McDonald said the Seahawks are doing additional testing on Kenneth Walker's calf, which sucks. But I hope you have Charbonnet, which I don't, and we're going to get to that.
Say, now that you're somebody who spent way too many draft picks on Zach Charbonnet, it doesn't suck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that it's crazy when he actually gets the work. I mean, someone said he has 80 yards and a touchdown, at least in every game he's played without Walker. So I guess if you have Charbonnet, that's good. Bucky Irving back injury, I guess something to monitor, but who knows? Pickens has a what?
John Tucker.
I guess. But it's White got most of it on Sunday, it felt like. Sure. So even at the goal line, which was weird, they were giving Rashad White first and goal on the two carries, which I thought was strange.
Because they can act like they're gonna pass the ball if White's out there. You put Tucker out there, you know exactly what's happening.
Right. Pickens has a grade 2 hamstring strain. He's already doubtful for this week, but Tomlin said there's an outside chance he plays. So Herms, our resident Steelers guy, apparently, give us a rundown on Pickens. And so are you trusting him? Let's say you have a bye this week. Are you trusting him next week with this injury? If they say he's back and healthy, or are you scared he's going to tweak it again?
I mean, he's a wild dude. I also know he likes to try to randomly leap over people for fun. Mm-hmm. So this is not – I'm really hoping they just like –
We have to stop the hurdle, a little bit. By the way. Just side note, the tight end's doing it and Derek Carr doing it. Just we need to stop the hurdling.
And Saquon can keep doing it, though.
Yes,
fine. Saquon can do whatever he wants. He doesn't count.
Yeah, he's a different category.
I mean, when you do something so creative that Madden puts it into the game as a separate animation, you know that you're automatically permanently allowed to do whatever you want. But, yeah, I mean, they have to be careful with Pickens at this point because of his play style and because of the fact that, like, the team has been good enough to the point where they're not only playing for something, they're also playing for, like, very important playoff seeding and positioning. So, like, and also, even if he does play this week, like, dude, like, the Eagles are – they're not going to be able to throw. They're not going to be able to throw anything. The whole thing, like, the only prayer that this, you know, offense has is being able to do dump offs to Jaylen Warren and then, like, occasionally finding Freiermuth when they decide that, you know, he's cool enough to throw to, even though they should be doing that a lot more. But I could go on forever about that. But, like, yeah, they're not going to get anything done. It's just going to have to be a slugfest on the ground. So, like, there's not even any point in playing Pickens to me. Like, I just, if he plays, don't bother. It's not going to be worth it.
Yeah. I guess before we move on, because he brought up Philly, Rocky, are AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts beefing? It seems like that's a problem.
It seems like a little bit. Yeah, I think he's just upset that he hasn't gotten the ball enough. It's typical wide receiver stuff. I'm not too worried about it. I know you DM'd
me. Yeah, I sent you the Brandon Graham thing.
Yeah. Yesterday, maybe. And I did hear that Brandon Graham stuff. And he was trying to say, be positive, like say positive things. And it's already been out there, though. So, I mean, he couldn't not talk about it. He has like
Twitter ran with it.
Yeah, he has like a weekly show on sports radio here. So they were asking him about it. But it's not like something he was just putting out there, like trying to, you know. It's so bad that he's talking to me or something like that. But, but yeah, I'm not too worried about it yet. I you know, AJ Brown.
Spooky wheel game's coming.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you might want to be starting AJ Brown this, if not this week, then next week. The Pittsburgh defense is pretty good.
Since the bye week in week
five. No, it's bad. It's really bad. Yeah.
Jalen Hurts attempts per game 25. 14, 20, 24, 20, 28 is nice. 22, 19, 21.
There's a reason Saquon Barkley is an MVP candidate.
Right? This is what they wanted like that 3 or 4 years ago when they just like re-upped Miles Sanders and were barely like, what was it? Hurts' sophomore or maybe third year where like they were a running team until they realized they can't run the ball very well. And then like the last 4 or 5 games, like, Hurts went nuts.
And he's been playing well in a lot of those games. They have Saquon Barkley.
He's official. So, he's being golf, kind of. Like,
yeah, so they don't need to throw it 30-plus times a game.
Right.
And they're winning a lot. So he also that's going to cut down your pass attempts, too.
Yeah. If not this week, they play Washington next week, and that smells like a squeaky wheel game. So
I'm sure even if he doesn't go off this week, fantasy-wise, he'll probably still get 10-plus targets or something.
Right.
It's just how successful.
Cedric Tillman is still in the concussion protocol, and Romeo Doubs is still in the concussion protocol, and I'm taking the victory lap on the one thing I actually got right in the preseason, because I also said Will Levis would be a top 12 QB. That's looking better, by the way, but not great. All the Packers wide receivers are the same. Jaden Reed's not special. I'm sorry, everybody. They're all the same. And I said that from the beginning. There is no best Packers wide receiver. They are all the same. And you're shaking the magic eight ball to decide who's.
But a bagel? Oh.
A bagel. Do you even have a target?
One.
Yeah. Just in a game with like actual offense, too. It wasn't like a 10-7 slugfest.
It's not like Russ was playing him in SFB or anything and then got booted. So it's no big deal.
And then back on the Jets, they said it came out over the weekend that they could still take a QB in the early rounds, even if Rodgers stays, which I don't know if Rodgers is on board with that, but that hasn't mattered in the past. So, hopefully there's an heir apparent but
well, right now Jets have the picks set. Right now the Jets have the 7th pick overall, but they're in a cluster of 3-10 teams.
I know. If they win one, they fall all the way down to like 14 or something ridiculous. Like there's a huge cluster. So,
well, they have a wonderful 4-game losing streak ahead on their shoulders. So
yeah, but they play like the Patriots or someone bad, right? They play someone bad this week. I feel like the Jags maybe. Which
well, you know, our naming teams worse than them. So well, that are also 3-10, but
they do play the Jags this week. So that could be bad for one of those teams because they're both 3 wins, right? So
yep.
One of them's going to fall all the way. And then even they play Rams, Bills, and Dolphins. They're going to lose out after that, I think, because the Dolphins are playing well. Maybe I don't know if we have trades to talk about that, but Tua looks great. So he's like the QB1 in the last month. So
it's about time he's doing that. Just I know, saying.
Seriously.
All right, that is the end of the news. So now is the time where I make the guest choose. Which do you want to do next? Do you want to do the trades or listener questions?
Let's get into the trades. Trades are always a good time.
Trade addicts leagues are 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage except for TA1. And there is a TA1 trade where Jameis Winston got traded for a 25-second. Now, this is the reason what I was saying before, where it's awesome to know whether you're in or you're out, because this is exactly what I would be doing, and this is exactly what happened. This happened almost immediately after I posted the draft order and the playoffs, where someone's just like, and this was a team that was the 7th seed, so they just missed the playoffs. And they're just like, oh, I don't need Jameis Winston anymore. 2nd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fair. If you're on a competing team, you're throwing your 2nd out there to go get Jameis Winston for the rest of the season?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I probably should go look and start seeing if I need to do that anywhere, because I definitely have, you know, some iffy quarterbacks in some leagues. It wouldn't hurt to add Jameis to the roster and throw him in there and see what happens. I don't know what his end of his playoff schedule looks like.
Yes, the Chiefs at home this week at the Bengals versus the Dolphins. So he's going to pass in all 3.
Yeah, and I know the Bengals especially, their defense is crap. So
yeah, they just made Cooper Rush look like a all-pro. So
if you have a bye this week, it's even better. You get the Bengals next week, and then hopefully he can do well against
the Dolphins. And
then
the Dolphins and probably the shootout of the year.
Yeah.
That's because neither team plays defense, and they both throw.
Yeah, I would definitely throw a 2nd at Winston for a playoff run. If you're not like already set like some people are.
Would you throw a 2nd for Cortland Sutton? Because that happened in Trade Addicts 3. So I stopped and I'm like, Cortland Sutton, interesting trade. Why would you? So I go and I pull up his production.
Yeah.
Week 7, he put up a 0.
Since then, he's been great. He's like a wide receiver 1, isn't he? Like top 12.
Since then, his lowest score in PPR was 14.8.
Yeah.
When I saw this, I wanted to ask you guys, instead of just this trade, I had a trade that was turned down. Godwin and a high 3rd for Sutton and Thielen to a non-playoff team.
It's the fact that it's Godwin. Like, he's almost 0 value at this point. A 27-year-old torn ACL, like, even if you are the kind of rebuilder where you're not afraid of age because it's still someone that could gain value, I don't know if Godwin's gaining value even when he gets healthy.
Yeah. And welcome to the show, Jalen McMillan. Welcome back. Kid dropped 2 touchdowns this week. I probably wouldn't give for Sutton because, again, I'm going to keep doing schedules. They play the Colts this week, but they have at the Chargers next week in a game that matters. Are you really going to be confident starting Sutton against that defense?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it really depends who. I mean, they have to have played a decent defense in the past 7 weeks.
And they're going to sign T. Higgins in the offseason, so Cortland Sutton isn't going to mean anything.
Oh, well, I would not be thought about getting that jersey.
But I'm trading for him. I'm not that worried about next year.
Yeah, especially trading a 2nd. I don't think you're worried about next year at all.
Yeah.
Like for the time being, he's seeing so many targets per game and just converting into so many points that you don't worry about that kind of stuff at this point. Like, I am all for the Cortland Sutton trade. I'm also a little surprised the Godwin trade didn't work out, because I know he's a little bit older, and I know the injury was kind of frightening, but he comes back immediately into a role that I think is one that he can age fairly well into, because it's not like he's going up in the air for 50-50s and, like, physically bullying people. Like, I don't know. I think he's somebody that I've actually done this on a couple teams where I'm out of it, but I have a team that can compete next year. I've made a few subtle trades just to stash Chris Godwin on my bench. I think he's an interesting guy.
I would definitely throw the second at Sutton too, and he does get the Bengals in the final week. So I mean,
that, you have to get past Chargers to get to that.
Well, though, if your team's dependent on Cortland Sutton's humongous game in week, you know,
I mean, yeah.
But he could, you know, his potential humongous game in week 17 maybe puts you over the top, though. So, who knows? But yeah, and I was just looking. I mean, this hasn't even been like super touchdown dependent. He's got three in those six or seven games since he started playing really, really well. And like Herm said, it's targets 11, 10, 9, 8, 10, 9.
Yep.
Oh, but also when they play the Chargers in week 6, he put up 15.3 points. On 6 targets, no less.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right. I karate chopped you metaphorically right there.
Yeah, I went to go check where Sutton is in ADP, and I got sidetracked because I saw Malik Nabers at wide receiver 4, which is ludicrous to me. But I had to go find Sutton, and I still haven't. He's wide receiver 49.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Behind Ricky Pearsall and Cedric Tillman and Cuge.
I mean, it'll go up now just because of recency bias, but it probably won't go up that much.
Yeah. So, that's crazy that Malik Nabers has watched Super 4 ahead of Amon-Ra. I'm not over that, but
it'll drop. It'll drop.
That's a little nuts.
Yeah.
Well, the way he started this, Malik Nabers was like destroying to start the season, and then he had the concussion.
It was like a month though. I mean. Like he said, I mean, I think he should be very, very high, but like he said, over Amon-Ra, like,
no,
yeah, and AJ, both of them.
Ah, yeah. So what are we doing, people? Come on.
Yeah. But it's shiny new toys, guys.
It is, yeah.
That's true.
And AJ Brown is old. He's 27.
Oh, my God. Wide receivers peak at 28.
Yeah, I was about to say, wide receivers peak. Yeah. So our last trade is from Trade Addicts 9, where someone traded their entire – we have 4 rounds in our rookie drafts – their entire 25 and 26 rookie class for Saquon Barkley.
How many picks was this? Was it 8 or was it more than 8?
Okay. All 8.
It's all their own picks, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a team that won last year, got the 6th seed this year based on points. So
I had to look what league this was and see if this was J. Mike trying to repeat again.
No. This is Bob Gilchrist. I'll call him out.
Okay.
In TA9. His team name in the league is Supreme Leader. He won once and got a very big head about it.
Bob?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've been at the top of the league since it started, and I can't win the damn thing. Been like a top 2 or 3 seed every single, I think, 3 seasons TA9's existed.
Listen, Mr. TA11, get over it.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but you have to. I get it. Like, because none of those picks are worth anything. They're all late.
Yeah, I know they're first, this is pretty much, I don't even really care. Like, I saw this, and then I was just like, whoa, well, the 3rds and 4ths you could throw in the garbage.
I was going to say, so you're trading, which you have to, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's having an historic season, so potentially 2,000 yards, yeah.
Until Pittsburgh shuts the ass down this week.
Yeah, Steve, look out. You know, I'm telling y'all, it's going to happen.
Well,
sorry for the fantasy heartbreak, everyone.
But I don't know. Did you answer, Herms? Would you send your next 2 draft class for sake? Let's take the name out of it. Let's take the name Saquon Barkley out of it. Would you send your next 2 draft classes to try and buy a championship?
I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the strategy of going all in doesn't really work if you leverage too far over the edge, because, like, I don't know. I assume that Bob already has a really good players in his running back spots. So, like, I understand, you know, Barkley, or just a Barkley type figure, is going to be some sort of increase in your point totals and all that stuff. But if the margin that you're improving your team by is, let's say, for all intents and purposes, 4.5 or 5 points, the swing that you're getting in that direction is not enough for me to want to sell two entire draft classes worth of picks personally. But I'm also kind of the mindset of playing YOLO ball with the mindset of F it, we ball, and just do whatever, you know, like Les Snead, you know, his famous motto about picks, GM of the Los Angeles Rams. Like, I get it, but it's, I'm not bold enough. I am not a bold enough human being to do stuff like this myself.
Since we've been talking schedules, he's also got Commanders and Cowboys 16 and 17.
Oh, that's going to be pretty so nice. Good.
Yeah.
Screw everything I said. No, it's worth it.
Especially if you have a bye and you don't have to face the Steelers.
The reason I'm good with this is because you're not trading a player to fill in over another player. You're literally adding a guy to your roster. It's not like you're trading a young producing guy for an older, more productive guy. It's not, you're not buying 2 points per game. Mm-hmm. You're taking your worst starter out and putting in Saquon Barkley, and that's probably
maybe more. Yeah,
that should be much more than 2 points per game. And again, a very heavy should. Saquon can suck for the next 3 weeks. We have no idea. Like, that's like that. This is why I love the conversation about trade deadlines. Even though technically, if you have a trade deadline at the start of the playoffs, this would make it in before that deadline. Think about how richer that rebuilding team is now because they just kept Saquon Barkley. Like, I've been trying for weeks to get Saquon Barkley off of this guy. I sent him Devonta Plus, and he's just like, no. Like, and it wasn't like Devonta and nothing, but like, yeah, he's just like, no, just going to hold him for now.
Yeah.
And it worked out, if you ask me. Getting two full draft classes.
Yeah.
I want to kind of pivot this to a question. If you're a competing team, you keep your first and you have your first and you're going to trade it away, especially right now. Are you willing to send your first for just the rest of the season, or do you need someone that has a bit of a future to them?
This now, is kind of leaking into my listener question too, a little bit. Too.
Okay. Then do you want to just, the last trade, just jump into your question.
So let's say you're a contender whose team just got nuked by potential Hall and Walker injuries. Totally hypothetical, not anyone on this show at all.
Of course.
So what do you do? On top of Russ's question, how in general do you navigate late season injuries as a contender? Do you buy assets at, I wrote discounts, I'm the other way, premiums? Or do you stay patient and say, you know, what happens, happens? So on top of Russ's question of do you trade your first for that, Herms, what do you think? Like, as a contender, just put me in your mind as a contender when you're trying to add a piece, whether for injury or just for fun like Bob did. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, so when it's just a first, I feel a lot more comfortable making these types of moves, especially because, like, this is one of those things where you're still surrendering an important asset, but you're doing it in the name of something that, like, you know that you, like, if your team is good enough and you know you're that one piece away, then who cares what that first is or becomes? You know, I recently did, so to give you an example of a similar type situation, I didn't lose anybody to injury. I just didn't have very good running backs, but I had a team that made it, you know, pretty far, got into a good playoff spot. And I saw that Joe Mixon was still available from one of the people who was out of it. So I just was like, okay, goodbye, first round pick. Hello, Joe Mixon. And just brought him onto the team because those are the types of things that you just got to do. Like, if you're uncomfortable with what your depth is, even if you're not, like, I don't believe in the, like, oh, well, be what it be. if you have the assets to go out and improve upon something, like, there's only one winner. Nobody remembers who finishes second or third or whatever, besides the people who finish second or third. You want to get that big dub. So you always got to go out there and do the moves to get the big dub. So yeah, dude, I support that like 1,000%. Like, I also am not that worried about people that have super long value, but like, if I'm going to go for a running back specifically, I will settle for at least like one more good year out of them. Like, if I only get the rest of this year and next year and that's it, fine. I can stomach that because, you know, a late first round pick is probably going to turn into a guy that you can maybe start in a flex in their rookie year anyway. So, like, yeah, mostly the same type situation. But I don't know. Those are my very long-winded thoughts on that topic.
I actually agree with what Herms was saying there. It's exactly what I was thinking, is that I don't need like a lot of future in there, but I want to have someone I feel pretty confident I'm going to be able to start through 2025 if I'm going to send a first. Given your specific question, Frank, I'm more inclined to try and get someone cheaper than paying a first, unless I'm just going like what Bob did and going super crazy and just sending the house for a super, super difference maker. But more likely, I would probably try and do something like Sutton or like Connor or something, somebody I can get for a second or two, and just who's old and scoring points and I can get for less than a first.
Yeah, so... See, it's really funny how I sometimes have a lot of trouble separating names from questions like this, because I'm sitting here staring at Ken Walker and I'm like, I don't really like Ken Walker. Can I get something for Ken Walker right now? Not really wondering if you're a Walker fan or not, but like, if I can get Joe Mixon for Ken Walker, I do that in a heartbeat. Like,
I have Mixon too.
I'm not talking about you specifically right now, Frank. But again, that's just me because I'm not a Walker fan. Like, I'm not going to do that with Breece Hall, because if Breece Hall misses two games, I don't care. It's Breece Hall.
What about like Montgomery?
I love me some Montgomery. Like, you're saying, would you send Walker for Montgomery?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that.
Even he's not though going anywhere. Walker has a longer life.
Yeah, he just got life into two, in theory.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, Walker's probably, what, 3-4 years younger?
He's 3 years younger.
Yeah, and, you know, we know what Montgomery is. We know the offense likes what Montgomery is. We know the offense is built around what Montgomery and Gibbs are. So, yeah, Montgomery is absolutely the – like, I would absolutely go send Ken Walker for Montgomery. And then if you have your first and you want to go nuts, like, send Walker in your first for – I mean,
yeah,
go see where the Saquon guy is.
I agree, too. I feel like Walker's fine, but – I don't know. I don't think he's anything special. And looking, I was trying to look at his, you know, pull up his fantasy numbers while Russ was talking, and that's kind of backing me up. He's got one or two big games here or there, but a lot of 13s and 6s and 8s. And
he needs that offense to click.
Yeah.
Well, either that or he needs... He, you know, he's that explosive guy that can take any run 60 yards for a touchdown. The problem is he doesn't do it. It's not like Adrian Peterson, where Adrian Peterson got the ball 30 times and it doesn't matter that 28 of them were for 4 yards, because two of them are going to be for 60 and one of them is going to be for a touchdown.
You mean like Zach Charbonnet did this week?
I was just going to say, and they might realize, you know, maybe, you know, we should be mixing Zach Charbonnet in more even when Walker is healthy. Because Jack Charbonnet is good. And I wouldn't be shocked, even through next year, if Montgomery is outscoring Walker. So,
yeah. But hold on to Breece Hall. I mean, I don't care if he misses the rest of the season, that sucks and all, but I'm not, you're not really supposed to, trade the injured player to replace the injured player. But again, just because the way I feel about Walker, if I could, I would.
Yeah.
Answer my own question. I would send my first for just a this year player.
Absolutely.
I've absolutely done it in the past. I mean, every year we consider Mike Evans a 1 year player, but last year I sent my first for Mike Evans. You know, I think it was last year. It could have been the year before, because again, every year Mike Evans is a 1 year player. But I'm absolutely all for sending what I want to be the 112 if I think it's going to help me win. And again, when it's putting a brand new player in your lineup, you think of it as replacing your worst player with this new player. Like, I know Addison Hayes has a famous story for him where he once sent CD Lamb for Keenan Allen, and this was like 4 years ago, because Keenan Allen was crushing it. And CD Lamb, this was before he was elite, you know, this is when everyone's still like, he could do it, he can do it. And he was doing well, but he wasn't doing great. And the truth was, within the playoffs, it was a difference of like 2.5 points per game, and Addison didn't win the championship, and now he's out CD Lamb. It's like, so like in that situation, when you're trading one player for another, like a player from your lineup for another player, that usually doesn't work out as well as you want it to. Sometimes it does, I'm sure. But absolutely, if it's just a pick for a player, I'm more than willing to just send it for just this year kind of thing.
Does that include Derrick Henry? I'm sorry, Rocky.
I was just
he's the guy whose legs are about to come off. So
we say that every year, but you know,
I know.
If he's on the Ravens again next year, I don't see why it's going to be any different.
He's signed for next year on the Ravens.
Yeah, so I would absolutely send a first for Derrick Henry right now.
Okay, sorry, Rocky. Go ahead.
I was just about his CeeDee Lamb story there thing. I'd heard that before from Addison, and I think he even said that like he looked and it made zero difference in any of the games, like correct, between their two scores, like none, like whether he would have won or lost.
Yep, didn't make a single difference. So that's the real cautionary tale of selling youth for production when your youth is kind of producing.
Yep.
The difference between wide receiver 9 and wide receiver 18 is still usually only 3 or 4 points per game. And mm-hmm. Go look through your scores throughout your season and see how many were down to 3 or 4 points per game. It's really not that many.
Yeah.
That's why running back is so frustrating. Cause like 3 weeks ago, you wouldn't have traded Ken Walker for David Montgomery. I know Russ would have, but like he was still a 24-year-old running back in a good offense. Like that's why running back is so frustrating.
Yep. That's why I hate running backs.
Yeah.
Ooh, from Tone Low 34 on Blue Sky. What are we doing with Pitts and Janu after the season? Values? Thanks, guys. Love the pod. Aw. Herms. let's take this one at a time because they're very different. They're opposite situations, right? Like, what are you doing with Kyle Pitts?
Man, that's my reaction.
Yeah, like I gave up on Pitts so long ago that like I don't want to say enjoying it because like I want him to be
that
really
would make
good.
You a terrible person, yeah.
No, I mean from the people that were just like, you have to trade 3 first to get this guy. His value is never going to be lower. So there's like an element of schadenfreude a little bit. But like, I want him to be a really good player because I want everybody's dreams to come true and all this stuff. Yeah. But it's just like, I don't know. I'm frustrated that Kirk Cousins didn't work out. Bringing it back to reality a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated that Kirk Cousins didn't work out. And at least this year, I think we can kind of give him like a little bit of a pass because the environment's like super bad. But what I don't want to do is continue to make excuses for Kyle Pitts because I can already anticipate the narrative of like, oh, we'll wait for Michael Penix to come in. This is definitely going to work out. I promise this time is different. And this is going to be like the fourth or fifth different thing that we've said about Kyle Pitts that's all of a sudden going to change everything. So his value to me is nothing because I refuse to engage in acquiring Kyle Pitts. I do not have any shares of Kyle Pitts because whatever his mathematical value is, whatever his fantasy value is, there's the narrative arc that you have to ride the roller coaster with players like this. And I hate like really heavy narrative guys because it's so hard to know what's going on. And like, I can't do it anymore, man. I can't.
So what Kyle Pitts, his value is what, like a second at this point?
He's tight end 5 on ADP, but that's old. A little bit.
I don't think he's tight end 5 to most people playing
dynasty. I don't think anyone sending him for a second.
No.
Well, I'll say late first and be like one of those players.
I would say just hold because what Herm said is going to happen. Yeah. Penix is going to come in and the hype's going to go back.
That's
up.
What I was going to say. I'd be interested in, but I don't know if I want to pay a late first or not. I would definitely pay a high second. He just turned 24. So yeah, I mean,
he's still 17 somehow.
Yeah. So I mean, I know he's been in the league like 4 years now or whatever, but and who knows? Did they haven't extended him or anything, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess
not that I'm aware of.
I don't know if they already would have had to do a fifth year option thing or whatnot, but I think
that's this offseason they'd have to do that.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's not even in Atlanta that much longer. Maybe that's a good thing. Who knows?
So they have an option this offseason.
Yeah.
And then he's a free agent if they pick him up. But I think they already did. I can't spot Spotrac's always hard to understand sometimes, but I'm just going to go to the Chiefs or something like that, and everyone's going to put him in the first round, and it's going to be great.
It's going to replace Kelsey, man. It's going to be perfect. I swear. Like, this is it.
That was a narrative at some point, was that the Chiefs were going to trade up and get him before he went four, and he was going to replace Kelsey.
Look, I believe in the player, and I believe that tight ends break later. It's not really that was wrong phrasing. They do, in fact, peak later than other positions. So I'm not out on Kyle Pitts. I'm out on the idea of what his value needs to be. I did trade him away in Trade Addicts 2 a week or two ago, and it's really funny that I traded him for Janu in a second, which is why I stick to that late first feeling, because Janu probably worth a late second and a second, so 2 seconds for a late first, which is kind of what it felt like to me.
I'd rather send 2 seconds though than the late first.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't hate the idea. If you can get Pitts for 2 seconds, I think I would do that almost everywhere. Like, I would go and bring that in.
Upside there, and he's, like you said, he's still young, and he's
and when Cousins was playing well, Pitts was doing well
for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's how long Cousins was doing well for. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
That's why I think he gets a little bit of a pass. Just a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
He had about a 4 week stretch where he was doing well. I'm looking at it from like week five to eight.
And the fact that Drake London is still doing pretty well shows that London is clearly better at getting open and doing what he needs to do to get the ball. So that is what that is, but like, I'm not giving up on Pitts, especially because he has so much time for his situation to change. And now that his price is whatever, you know, it's much more reasonable to go get him on your team, to let him sit there for a bit. Like, he's the third tight end on a couple of my teams at this point, because I've had to go trade for a second tight end because of, I didn't have to, but in my leagues with the 0.75 premium, having multiple tight ends that you can start is usually a good strategy.
I like Roman's comment in the chat is Kraft top. Would you rather have Kraft or Pitts?
Neither.
I'd rather have Kraft.
I think Kraft is the outlier, by the way, to my all Packers wide receivers are the same, because he does get targets.
So hold on, someone say something for a second, because I need to find out what Kraft has been doing lately.
I mean,
I'd rather have Pitts.
We haven't talked about Jonnu yet. I mean, go ahead, Brett.
True.
Yeah.
Jonnu, I'll start talking about Jonnu. Kraft, by the way, 3 games ago, he had 2 targets. Just one of them happened to be caught for a touchdown. I really like Jonnu. I've always been a fan of Jonnu, and one of those guys where when he was in a good offense, he was doing well. And I love that you saw that Miami was kind of trying to find a tight end, and then they did. And it's ever since it's been working. Like, he's been getting, and okay, he did it in a very scary fashion, and it took overtime this week, which again, I didn't. You know, he's my SFB tight end, so it doesn't matter anymore. I'm not going to stop crying about that for a while. But, you know, he's 29, which isn't dead for a tight end, but he's also on that offense where he's commanding a lot of targets. I don't know if it's still true, but as of like 2 weeks ago, he had more targets than Tyreek Hill did. I don't know what the past 2 or 3 games have held to see if that still holds up, because it was only by 4 or 5. But he's every part of that – very much a part of that offense. And again, at 29, which is pretty much peak age for a tight end, I don't hate sending a second for Jonnu on any competing team, especially because he's scoring that well still. And I think he'll be fine next year is what I was trying to get at, even though I didn't say those words exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't really have much to add.
think the only thing I really think about Janu, and I said this not too long ago somewhere else that I don't remember, but like not a lot of people saw this coming, but when you think about Jonnu Smith being really good in hindsight, you're like, well, one of the fastest tight ends in the league signed a free agent contract in an offense that features some of the fastest guys at every other position. Of course it worked. You know, like I just think that's kind of funny. A fun little anecdote to throw out. But yeah, no, shout out Jonnu, man. He's been really making a big difference for me in TA10. Very excited I finally made the playoffs for that. Woohoo!
Yes, I was very excited for you. Then I tried to see if there was a trade we could do with each other. But then I'm like, wow, the only young thing he has is Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jamar Chase. Can't exactly send Amari Cooper for those kind of guys.
Not quite.
Yeah. And Johnny's signed through the year, by the way, through next year. They have an out, but nice. They can keep him for next year.
It would seem crazy to get rid of him at this point, though. Yep. NFL, who knows, man. Our last question at darthandrew.bluesky.social. What type of player do you look for in the 101 pick next year to trade the 101 for next year, Jonty or Tet, in a deal for a one quarterback PPR league?
I never have the 101, so I have to trade. I either have traded it or I'm, you know, too far out because I don't tank hard enough. So I'm bad for this question.
Rock, have you started looking at players yet? And Herms, do you know Devi at all to know if in a super flex, I still think Genty or Tet might be the 101, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be Genty.
Genty, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's it's kind of like
everything has Genty to the Cowboys.
I think it was DeBrees here, he was the 101 everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like,
yeah, that. And like I think a lack of an obvious QB1 is a little bit difficult, so that's really with those values are gonna, you know, sort of suppress themselves to the point that, yeah, like a running back going first in this class is not going to be ridiculous to me. And then Tet number two, probably also going to end up being a thing. And like, they're both really good to the point where if I can see a world in which Tet ends up like immediately being like a top 15 dynasty asset, like right away, which is like pretty awesome. Ashton Genty in the right landing spot. Although I have no idea where he's going to end up going, but whatever it is, probably going to be a top 12 running back right away. So as long as you can get a dude that's already that now in return or something, like maybe you could think about that. That's the kind of player I'd go after. Like if somebody was like, hey, I'll give you Amon-Ra, I'd be like, all right, cool. I'll do that, I guess. But, you know, don't – I would – my best advice actually is probably wait until we get closer so you can try to get a player and a draft pick. I don't know that I would be too worried about valuing this pick right now in December.
All right, since that's a boring answer, so waiting, I'm going to list some players. And we're going to say,
I was actually just thinking of doing that. I was
pulling player of the pick. A.J. Brown or the 101 in one quarterback.
It's a tough start. I'm going to say squeaky wheel, and it's still A.J. Brown. But if he continues this, then that changes.
Still A.J. Brown for me. Did you answer, Herms?
I'd rather have the 101.
It's probably the right answer, but I still love A.J. Brown. The complete disappointment of Marvin Harrison Jr. or the 101?
I'd rather have the 101.
I'd rather have Harrison. Give me year two Marvin Harrison.
I think I'm at year two Marvin Harrison.
If Marvin Harrison were in this draft class, he'd be the top receiver. Like, that's the thing for me. So, yeah, I think I'd rather just assume his development is going to continue. Plus, like, honestly, he hasn't really been that bad. But that's a whole other rant that would take me, like, 10 minutes. So I'm just going to stop.
I just feel like there's as much hope on Harrison as there is on what – it might be more hope than – because the elite running backs translate to the NFL super, super, super well. Like, we do really good with that. Like, it's rare that you see a running back that goes one-on-one who sucks or is even mediocre. So if we're saying Genty's the 101, I think I'd rather have Genty.
Okay. Nico Collins?
Damn.
I have like one or two more after this. I take the 101 over Nico Collins, even though I love what Nico Collins is doing.
I think so too.
I don't think the world is caught up to what Nico.
That's where I'm. I just feel like his value isn't the like. I do think his production could like. I think he's going to be a guy who keeps producing year over year, wide receiver one. So I. That's what's so hard to answer. I just feel like what you said. It's like most people hear. I think a lot of people would hear Nico Collins 1-on-1 and it's easy 1-on-1. Like I don't feel that way. It's
I also think the injury will lead them to bring Diggs back for nothing. Because Diggs won't have a market.
I mean, he was great with Diggs there, though.
That's true.
Yeah, that doesn't worry me. Brock Bowers.
1-on-1. Not even concerned.
Brock Bowers, dude. Brock Bowers, 1,000%.
That was my reaction, too. That one was easy, Brock Bowers, for me, because...
Why so quick to pick over Brock Bowers?
Because tight ends are all the same.
Except he's potentially not.
We said that about Laporta, too. Receiver, and how did that work? He'd be
a top five receiver right now. If you look at his stats, he's a wide receiver. But
Brock Bowers came out supposed to be Brock Bowers. Sam Laporta was a good prospect, but he was not supposed to be this. Like, Brock Bowers was, okay, Kyle Pitts didn't work out. Now we got Brock Bowers.
The difference between Bowers and Njoku on a week-to-week basis is like 2 points. Give me Genty.
He's also a rookie tight end who normally...
No, I know that.
2.3. You calm down.
But I'm saying, if he's doing this as a rookie, he was hyped to be as good as he's showing to be. And you would think the ceiling is higher than where he's at, especially considering he's in a Raiders offense with Minshew and O'Connell all year.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm watching Genty about to win the Heisman potentially, and he's special. So
is Brock Bowers.
I know, but Brock Bowers never won the Heisman. So
I'd rather have the guy who to me is more proven it in Bowers than Marvin Harrison. So
I want the boat.
And it you took Harrison over Genty.
All right, Frank. What if it's a TA league and you get the 0.75 premium?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, no. Literally just...
It's still... No, I know, but like...
It's okay to be wrong every once in a while. Right? All right.
I'm wrong a lot, actually. So maybe you shouldn't listen to me, but yeah, I think all the tight ends are the same, and this stinks like Laporta, because the Raiders are going to have a lot of cap space.
I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah.
I also didn't think
the situations are vastly different.
Yeah.
No, I know, but who says the Raiders aren't going to sign T. Higgins?
Shut up!
I just keep saying
what have I done to you? Why? I mean, the black and silver jersey is nice and all, but for real life?
Pick a receiver then, not T. Higgins. That's just the first one that comes to mind every time. But, like, who says the Raiders aren't going to sign someone like that?
Okay, and George Kittle has produced throughout his career and in recent years has had Debo and Ayuk. I mean, so... To me, the whole thing is just Bowers was that much better as a prospect, and he's proving it. I don't see why you would expect he would fall off.
We left Kittle for dead 6 months ago because that guy was leaking.
I'll take that out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We left Kittle for dead 6 months ago because of IU and Pearsall and Debo and receivers can change things.
And you were wrong.
Yeah. So.
And just the same way, I don't care if T. Higgins comes with Bowers. Maybe the offense gets better.
All right, can we stop talking about that? Can we? We are saying it too much, and I don't want to talk it into existence.
But the other thing about a lot of that is, though, so aside from T. Higgins, because we have to eliminate him, like in the way that the NFL works these days, the elite guys, for the most part, get locked up to extensions before they ever hit free agency. So what free agent wide receiver is coming in that is going to be of a greater pass-catching talent than Brock Bowers? Like, they could give somebody a lot of money, but you're still going to scheme up touches for who is your best pass catcher in the offense, and that guy happens to be the tight end. Like, we could theoretically see Brock Bowers ascend with a little bit more experience into what Trey McBride is doing right now. And if, like, it's not that ridiculous of a, you know, kind of arc for him to hit either based off of the early returns that we've had so far. So, like, especially in this trade addict scoring, like, if you could tell me I could get a tight end like that, dude, like, Brock levels of that, like...
He's the tight end one, not the tight end dynasty tight end one. He is the point scoring tight end one as a rookie, and he's 3 points a game over everyone except Kittle and McBride.
So is like, LaPorta, is all I'm saying.
But LaPorta wasn't as good of a prospect.
I get the hesitancy of Frank because I was absolutely burned by LaPorta because I was a fan of LaPorta coming in, and that's all Zach Reed's fault. Everything is Zach Reed's fault.
I actually wasn't. I thought he was too overpriced after last year.
Well, LaPorta's also getting like six targets per game over the past like 3 weeks, by the way. It's not like he's completely dead.
After he's killed everybody.
I don't know. We're still Las Vegas is the number one, but I digress.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I would feel better about Bowers if it was Kirk Cousins and not one of these quarterbacks.
Also, Sam LaPorta last year was tight end three and was 3 points behind where Bowers, 2.5 points behind where Bowers is this season on a per game basis.
This is going to be a long show if we keep debating this.
I know.
I will say. I will say I don't like a lot of the QBs in this draft either. I think Cam Ward is fine. I think Shador is overrated.
But he's absolutely the kind of quarterback the Raiders would take.
And he's going to go. Like, I don't know how closely you guys watch this. He, like, tweets, thank God, with the Raider stadium every time they lose a game. Shador does. Like, he's going there, it seems like. Like, it's just... Yeah. And I don't trust him to make Bowers look like amazing. But, you know, I'm wrong a lot. I would trust
Minshew and O'Connell to make Bowers look amazing.
Exactly.
All right. We've had our fun. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Thank you, you beautiful gentlemen, for making this so much fun. Herms, before we head out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
My name is Herms. You can find me on the Twitter machine at @CH_Herms and on Blue Sky just @Herms and then whatever the rest of the handle is for everybody. I write stuff on the internet about fantasy football. If you want to find my redraft content for the rest of the fantasy playoffs or whatever, you can go to the 33rdteam.com to find that. And if you want to read my dynasty content, you can go over to fantasypoints.com.
And just in case you couldn't tell, he did a snap in the guns. And he's holding them out there for you. He's holding them out. Still hasn't put them away. That's how on guard he is.
That's what it felt like 5 minutes ago as everyone had the guns pointed at each other.
Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record. We also have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And other than that, everything is Fantasy Cares. So fantasycares.org, if you can donate anything. We started our toy shopping. I did my shopping last Friday. It is just so much fun and so fulfilling to see like Marines tear up at like carts full of toys that they know they're going to be able to give to kids. It's just such an amazing feeling. So thank you to everyone who even retweeted a tweet to just help spread the word of Fantasy Cares. We also still have the advent calendar going on where every day we give a random person who joins in a signed jersey. We've been giving out so many goods. We talked about Pickens a whole lot. Jackson Smith and Jigbo was a few days ago. Debo, I think, was today.
The jersey was sweet, the Njigba.
Highlighter green ones.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence a few days ago, which I'm still angry about. Like, all these jerseys I want to hang on my wall. I have to send to other people. Really. fantasycares.org/advent if you want to get in on that. Or you can just go to fantasycares.org and you can read about it there. But on that note, good night, everybody.
Night rest.
You're back. Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.